Let me call the Dallas City Council briefing meeting to order for April 17, 2013. It's 9:03 in the morning. We will begin with our invocation and our Pledge of Allegiance. Usually I introduce the ecclesiastical leader that does that invocation, but I'm going to let Councilman Allen introduce Dr. Donnell because he's got a personal relationship with him, and then Mr. Allen will lead us in the pledge.
Thank you very much for allowing me the opportunity. Doctor, would you please come up? Very fortunate today to have Dr. Jeff Donnell with me. He is my pastor, so y'all can blame him for any of my actions. Jeff, like a lot of pastors, has degrees that go all the way, and he has every single one of them. But as a solid pastor, his heart is literally this big. Very progressive out in the East Dallas area, Northeast Dallas area, very progressive. Jeff has triplets, and they're all going to be Lake Island Wildcats. So something I'm very proud of. And one of the, I used the word progressive at Lakeside Baptist Church, where Jeff is pastor. We started here about 2 months ago, a new program where every other Saturday we open it up to the public, and we have a public market and such, and it's been extremely successful, has it not? But this is a way to bring in the public and then also do the produce and the rest of it. So just a very progressive pastor that he brings to us. Not only that, he runs marathons. So, Jeff, would you please start the day off for us?
I'd love to be honored. Thank y'all. If you will, join me in a word of prayer, please. Father, we do come to you today and just thank you for this day, and thank you for all that you have given us, all of the blessings that you've bestowed on us. Father, we thank you for this great city, the mayor, Father, the city council, the city manager, the departments, the committees, staff, all the professionals, all the volunteers that make this city work, Father. We just are so grateful as citizens to know that we're in good hands. And we pray for wisdom, Father, and we pray for discernment and direction for them. And Father, in a week like this, we think about our first responders. We think about our police and all of their staff, Father. We think about our fire and rescue staff, Father. And we just pray for their safety. And pray for them, Father, as that you would take care of them while they take care of us. And you would look after them as they look after us and keep them safe. When we look to the news on Monday, Father, we see car chases and shootings. We see terrible effects of evil, domestic violence, Father. And we just pray that our city could turn the corner on that issue, and that we could be a city that's not known for domestic violence. And Father, that your hand would be upon us and that you would help us in that endeavor. And thank you for Mayor Rawlings and his initiative in that, Father. And I just pray that you continue to give him guidance as he seeks the safety and the welfare of the innocent. And Father, as we also looked on the news on Monday, our hearts go to Boston and we lift them up to you, Father, and we pray for them, realizing that there is evil in the world and it makes us hurt, but we also see the good and humanity when citizens band together. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to lay aside petty differences and politics for the greater good and the greater need. And just as the mayor of Boston, just as the governor of Massachusetts recognize the need for divine guidance, we come together and ask you for guidance, and we ask you for wisdom. And I just pray, Father, that it would not take a tragedy for us to recognize our need for you. In the words of St. Francis of Assisi, we pray, Father, Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful city. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, would y'all join me in pledge allegiance to our great nation? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
Thank you. Mr. Allen, since you're in the role, I'm going to have you you go first. Let me talk about process this morning. We've got several presentations. We'll do open microphone speakers, and then we've got a very brief voting agenda. We will then recess after that voting agenda, and we will come back into executive session at 11 o'clock, and then after that do our afternoon speakers. Mr. Allen.
All right. This is a special week that we have, and we celebrate this week really since I've been on council, and this is Financial Literacy Week. And at this time, we've got some really special guests, and I'm going to ask all of y'all to come up, and I believe we've got the consulate back here also. If y'all be so kind to come up here, I would really appreciate it. We've got United Way, representatives from Bank on Dallas. We've got the Federal Reserve Bank. We've got Financial Literacy. We've got Consumer Credit Protection Agencies in it. And then we've got folks from our Mexican consulate office that is just stellar in what we do. What we're looking at right here, ladies and gentlemen, is one strong team, one strong team, one strong team that cares about the citizens of this great city. Financial literacy, as we all know, about 37% of the households in Dallas, Texas are what we call asset poor. Excuse me, 39%. I said 37. 39% of our households. There's 450,000 households in Dallas, Texas today. And of that, we have about 120,000 households that if they were to lose their primary paycheck within 2 months, they'd either be living at the bridge or with Cousin Vinny. And neither one of those are options we want our citizens to have at the end of the day. And the way we do that is through this partnership, this teamwork that we've got going on among all of these folks and with the city, whereby we provide financial literacy, a pathway to having asset building that goes on. And when I said 39%, again, that's 120,000 households. So this is Financial Literacy Week. I've got a proclamation, and if y'all bear with me, I'm going to read it just real quick here. And this is from the office of the mayor of the city of Dallas. Proclamation, whereas on March 29, 2013, the President of the United States proclaimed April 2013 as National Financial Capacity Month, whereas the city of Dallas recognized the value of financial education and its benefit to the community in their personal life and businesses, and whereas the city of Dallas, the Bank on Dallas program of the United Way of Metropolitan Dallas, the Consulate General of Mexico, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and other organizations have recognized the need for financial literacy and have joined forces under the Financial Fitness Greater Dallas Initiative. Whereas Financial Fitness Greater Dallas will be hosting Financial Education Week in Dallas from April 20th to the April 27th of 2013. Whereas the Financial Fitness Greater Dallas events reflect coordinated efforts between the United States and Mexico to improve the quality of life through awareness and access to financial services and promote economic inclusion of the Dallas community, which includes our migrant families, and whereas more than 3,000 people received financial literacy information and classes during the previous Financial Literacy Week celebration of 2012. And whereas the financial crisis, Financial Fitness Greater Dallas seeks to empower communities by educating them about consumer rights, fair treatment, and protection. And whereas the city of Dallas encourages efforts that support the economic well-being of all people and supports partnerships that can increase access and awareness of available financial services, now to establish good credit history, apply for home loan, start a family, small business, create family wealth, plan for children's college education, plan for children's college education, plan for children's college education, and manage risks and liabilities of others. Now, therefore, I, Mike Rollins, Mayor, City of Dallas, and on behalf of the entire Dallas City Council, do hereby proclaim April 20th, April 27th, as Financial Education Week in Dallas, and invite the community to attend the Education and Business Development Fair and the various seminars that will be taking place during this time. And before we introduce with the Mexican consulate, because this is a special time, which one wants to do the honors of talking about what's coming up next week? Who wants to do it? Amy? Amy, come on up here. This is Amy. She's with the Bank on Dallas program, manages one of our many banks here in Dallas.
Good morning. I didn't really plan on speaking. I'm so glad that you guys allowed us to be here today, and I'm so honored to stand in front of all of you and to be able to talk about Financial Fitness Greater Dallas. Our kickoff event will be Saturday, April 20th, at the Bachman Recreational Center. We have Ms. Monica Alonso, who will be there speaking. Mr. Jerry Allen, who has been a longtime supporter of this, will be speaking. Ms. Pauline Madrano, we appreciate every one of you coming. We hope to have over 1,000 people from the local community and from the city here to talk about financial literacy and to come to us so that we can help them with all of their financial needs. Also throughout the week, we will have we've had throughout the month over 1,000 webinars from Consumer Credit Counseling Services, and we're going to have classes all week long at the Mexican Consulate as well as in banks all over the city, and we're hoping that this will continue throughout the year. This is just a launching point, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you. All right.
Would y'all come up, please? Would y'all come up?
One of the things that we're so blessed to have here in Dallas and is our Mexican consulate, the office that we've got. They have led the way throughout the United States of America. What we did last time a year ago, really, and we did the Financial Literacy Week, that really set the tone for the rest of the United States. It really set the tone. There was no other city that really stood out as well as Dallas, Texas did. And quite frankly, as a result of that, now we have other cities throughout the United States that are doing it this week. Am I right? I mean, they're out there and they're wanting to emulate us. And it's been such a pleasure to literally work with y'all and just the good that you've done and the excitement that you've brought to this. Would you be so kind to say a few words?
Yeah, I was saying.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good morning, Mayor Rawlings, Pauline Medrano, Mayor Pro Tem, and members of the City Council. It's a pleasure to be here at the City Council to receive this important proclamation that invites the City of Dallas community to participate at the Financial Fitness Greater Dallas Semana de Educación Financiera in Spanish. Last year, in March 2012, in collaboration with the City of Dallas, Bank of Dallas programs, we have the pleasure to launch the first Financial Literacy Week. More than 2,500 attendees participated in 23 different activities and workshops aimed towards promoting financial inclusion. Once again, we're partnering with Bank of Dallas program and another community's partner in the Great Dallas area to relaunch this public awareness campaign aimed to educate our communities about the rights as consumers and to emphasize the importance of financial literacy. This year, event will also be highlighted by Dallas hosting the international kickoff ceremony that will launch activities in over 40 cities in the U.S. This will start by hosting an international forum at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas with the authorities, participants of Mexico, the City of Dallas, and also speakers coming from New York, Washington, D.C., and also from Mexico and Dallas as well. Like no other country, we believe that Dallas reflects the spirits of, like other cities in this country, reflects the spirits of entrepreneurship and economic opportunities that drives this country. This opportunity should be available to all hardworking families that contribute to the economy, and that is still a challenge that we share as a nation and one that we need to address by continuing work together. Therefore, we believe that international cooperation and shared responsibilities are key elements towards achieving this common goal. We hope that the people in Dallas will gladly attend these seminars and workshops we prepare for the week of April 20th to the 27th, and that all sponsors and financial institutions that will also see this event as a great opportunity to engage the Hispanic community in a positive way. This would not be possible, of course, without the leadership of all committee partners like the Bank of Dallas, now under the leadership of the United Way of Metropolitan Dallas, the Office of Economic Development of the City of Dallas, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, along many other nonprofit organizations. On behalf of the Mexican Consulate, I would like to express our gratitude to all members of the City Council and the Mayor, Mike Rawlings, for your support to this important initiative. Thank you very much.
What we heard, too, was international. I'll wrap this up, Mayor, but what we heard, this really is the leadership that we've seen. They're coming from all over the United States as a result because of the leadership that we've seen. Could I get y'all to come up and get us a picture with all of us?
Let me just say one thing, Jerry. I just want to say that it seems like each of our council people have a great love. I was with Ms. Davis Saturday in a code conference. She loves code, and she's going to do something about that. You've done the same on financial literacy and making sure that we've got programs in place to help, and I think we should salute you for that. I think I appreciate it. I will say I know our state of Texas has got a lot of issues on education, but I still believe that financial education is math. And if we're not good at math, we need to be teaching financial education in our middle schools and our high schools when we're teaching math. And any education reformer out there that listens to me, I'd love for us to be pushing this in our schools because it'll make us better. Thank you.
Mayor, thank you. Jerry, thank you very much for this opportunity for all of the City of Dallas to listen about Bank of Dallas. I think that all the council members can probably share some horror stories out there in our community that have affected hard-working people because they were not aware of these opportunities and financial opportunities that the banks here and Bank on Dallas just gives them the education of where they can go and bank, and that it's a lot safer putting their money in the bank and not under their mattress. So thank you very much.
I'll say this, too, real quick. This Dallas City Council in 2011 passed the strongest anti-payday lending ordinance in the United States of America. The strongest anti-payday lending ordinance in the United States of America was able to get three other cities in Texas to go along with it. And the state of Texas right now, there's a payday lending law that's going on that's going to gut our ordinance. And that's why financial literacy is going to be so important because we're going to have to do it from the grassroots up again because we're going to get gutted. Going to get gutted by what the state's going to do to our ordinances and preempt city ordinances. So with that being said, we'll get a spit.
Somebody's phone. There's a telephone up here.
Yeah,
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Thank you, team. Let us move to our next presentation. Ms. Hasso, please, you've got the podium.
Great. I'm ready. Good morning, everybody. I want to start by asking a few of our City of Dallas employees to join me up here at the podium. Frank Librio, John Rogers, Melissa Miles, Kevin Lefebvre, Patricia Marcellet, Margarita Ortiz, Joey Zapata, Mark Doty, Teresa O'Donnell, Laura Martin, Betty Swinners, and my assistant, Gary Sanchez. I call these employees to come up and be recognized for something they did that is truly special. In November of last year, 13 City of Dallas employees took time from their day to go to our Dallas City News Network studio. They sat in front of a movie camera, and they shared details about their lives, personal details about what it is like to grow up being gay. Some of them told stories about being picked on or bullied at school. Others told stories on telling their family about being gay and stories about losing friends and family because they're gay. They did this as part of the It Gets Better project, a nationwide initiative aimed at informing people, mostly youth, who may be struggling with their identity and feel they have nowhere to turn to or hope for. After viewing a similar video made by the City of Austin, Mary Sue introduced the notion of Dallas producing a similar video with our employees sharing their stories, and so that's what we did. In January of 2013, the video made its debut, first released exclusively to the Dallas Voice, who I want to recognize, David Taffet. He's here with us today. Then onto the It Gets Better Project's website and YouTube, where the video has been seen over 3,000 times. What these 13 employees did shows a genuine sense of care, understanding, and unselfishness to sit down and share personal stories with the world, simply to help others who may be struggling with coming out as being gay or lesbian. Not only as the chair of the LGBT Task Force, which I created in 2009, but as an elected official and a citizen, I'm so proud of these employees for taking their life experiences and using them to provide hope for thousands of others so that they can know that life is precious, fragile, and above all, that it does get better. There are two other people I'd like to call up here to the podium to be recognized. Number one, our friend and former colleague, the Honorable Ed Oakley, and Greg Kilhofer, representing Cavan Enterprises, Inc. To make this video happen quickly, it was going to take money. Without thinking twice when approached to be producers for this video, Ed Oakley and Greg Kilhofer said yes, absolutely. Knowing that this video would have no financial return, they poured their kindness and generosity, proving their loyalty to our youth and their future. Because of Ed Oakley and Greg Kilhofer and the employees you see before you today, LGBT individuals across the nation and perhaps on the other side of the globe are now inspired to remain true to themselves and face their future with confidence and dignity. Lastly, I'd like to thank our City Manager, Mary Soom, and the City of Dallas for supporting this project and being a city that supports equality, a city that embraces individuality, a city that celebrates diversity. So now I, Dahlia Hasso, on behalf of Mayor Mike Rawlings and the entire Dallas City Council, do hereby extend special recognition to all of you for your great courage, your great generosity, and your great participation in the It Gets Better project. Thank you. Now, I would like to call up, thank you, absolutely. I know, Ed, as a former elected official, I'm going to ask you to come on up and say a few words. Here's the microphone.
Well, this is really odd being on this side and receiving one of these when I gave out so many as a council person. When Mother Mary called and said, I have something I need your help with, she sent me the video. And if you haven't seen the one from Austin, it was truly amazing. And she said, I think I want to try, we want to try, Frank and I want to try to see if we can do something here in Dallas. Because we think there's, it's just something we should do. She called me back and said, we've got people standing in line to do this. And so I called Greg. Greg is president of Cavan Enterprises. It's a 30-plus-year-old company that's an employee-owned, the largest gay and lesbian-owned company that's owned by the employees in the state of Texas and probably in the United States. He said, we're going to do this because we need to make sure that we have the ability for our employees, who should be getting the special recognition, for them to step out of the shadows, people you work with every day that don't know maybe a part of their life. I've done that as an elected official, but for them to step out and take center stage and say, this is what I went through growing up, and the youth today, there is a place, things do get better, because you can serve on the city council, you can run for mayor, you can serve as any one of these department heads in the city of Dallas, so just hang in there. So it was with no-brainer that we helped fund their ability to tell their story. And that's what this is about, is this group of individuals. And there's a lot of other employees that you should be thanking for supporting them. I knew John Rogers when he had hair on his head. So that's how long I've known John. And they're all, and what brought tears to my eyes is the personal stories that they told. And because I work with them every day down here, and some of them I didn't even know were part of our community. Thank you for letting us help you tell a story about Dallas and their employees. From my behalf, Greg.
Okay, we're going to take a picture. So if you guys want to come up, we want to commemorate this day.
All right. While I love our effort in financial literacy, and I am just so excited about our LGBT community and city council, I love state champion basketball teams. This is my highlight, okay? Miss Davis, she's got a very important presentation.
If I can have, Vancille is not here, but Ms. Caraway, can you come on up here with me, please? Yes.
Is this his district? Is this his district? Now, why does he get to come up?
Okay, get on this side, Renita. Get on this. On this side here. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Okay, I want to thank our mayor and for letting me make this presentation. to the high school in which I graduated from, the great James Madison High School in 1980, if the trustee Nutoff can come up and the principal and the team with the coach, y'all, let's give it up for them. This is a wonderful day. Y'all, so let's give it up for the great James Madison High School. I am so, so happy. Vasil, come on up with me. Now, I'm going to do this a little different, Ms. Zoom. I'm going to do it a little different. Can I have, first of all, I want the trustee Nuttall to come on up and talk about the school in which you represent as the trustee for South Dallas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank you guys for honoring the great James Madison High School. You must have great leadership in order to lead a team to great championship. They are the 3A basketball state championship. They won in 2009, now again in 2013, led by the principal Marion Willard and the coaches that are here, the head basketball coach, raise your hand. And the Trojans. So I want to thank you guys for honoring them and making them feel special because they make the city look good as well as the school district. So on behalf of the Dallas Independent School District, I want to thank you for this honor.
All right. Now I want the principal to come up and give a word of encouragement.
Good morning. First of all, we are peacock proud to be here with you all this morning, and especially you all taking time to look back and represent and recognize our students, because we're only as great as the students that we teach each and every day. And I am just the person that's standing in the position, but without these young men, the coach, the coaches working with them, we would not have been able to do that. When you have commitment and team effort, that makes a state championship. And so when you speak with when Coach Mobley, when he comes up to say something, he can tell you about that. But I'm just proud. I'm proud to be a part of the Dallas Independent School District. I'm proud to be a part of Dallas ISD, Dallas City of Dallas as well. So thank you all for honoring my young men, because these are champions of excellence.
And I'm going to have the coach to come up. And what I like about this, they don't have any sagging pants. And that's what I like. They look like young men, and they are standing tall like young men are supposed to stand. Coach, come on up.
Okay. Again, good morning. My name is Coach Damian Mobley, and I am the proud coach of this great James Madison boys basketball team, which was 2013 3A state champs. And the first thing I would like to thank is the mayor and the city council for inviting us down here to be recognized, which I think is a great honor, not just for me, the principal, but also for these young men to experience this. And also I would like to express something that we've been sitting down and just listening and experiencing. I like what the mayor said about the financial literacy things being taught in the schools. And, you know, I know they came up here to talk about how financial literacy was going to be taught and expressed in the community, but I think it starts in the school first. And, you know, we are champions, and I always hear about talent and skill, but I think it's two characteristics that people overlook when it comes to champions, and that's it's discipline and, last but not least, intelligence. And so without discipline or intelligence, it wouldn't be any champion. And, you know, and that starts in our schools and in our homes. And so I was glad to hear that the mayor did recognize financial literacy being taught in our schools at the junior high and high school level. So, again, thank you guys for inviting us down here to be recognized by this great city.
And before we get to, I want my colleagues to say something. Vancil, I would like for you to say a word of encouragement, and then Councilmember Carol Black.
Thank you, Councilwoman Davis, for sharing this opportunity with us. Young men,
I could not be prouder. For real, I'm 4'11", but when I stand on my pride in y'all, I'm 7'7". I do want to say this to each and every one of you. Can I know how many of you are seniors?
Ooh, we're gonna repeat.
Seniors.
Repeat.
Repeat, three-peat, four-peat. But my colleagues know what I'm going to say to the seniors. Where are you going to college? I'm asking, where are you going to college? Go ahead. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. UNT. All right. That is good, gentlemen, because it doesn't stop here. You go on from here and become the leaders of this nation that we see in you. All the best to you. Be blessed.
Let me just say, one, how proud I am and we are here at the City of Dallas for you all representing this city and your school, your neighborhoods, your families, and everyone connected to you daily. With leadership. This is just the beginning. Ms. Davis has already indicated all of you got your pants pulled up. That's very important. But it doesn't stop with just having your pants pulled up. I want you to teach your little brothers, teach everybody coming behind you how to be the champion. That's how you got down there and you won. You listen to your coach. I love James Madison. Now, I graduated from Roosevelt. Let me be real clear. I'm a Mustang. But all of my relatives, all of my aunts, they all attended James Madison. They were in the Green Flash, was it? The Green Flash and all of those different organizations at Madison years ago. That's why I love Madison. I went to Texarkana when James Madison played football for the state championship in Texarkana years ago. I was a baby. I was with my aunt, and we went to travel with Madison. Madison has a long legacy. Madison has been winning for many, many, and many years. It's an establishment. It's a monument on Martin Luther King. It's up to you all to continue that legacy, and you've done it this time. Now we're going to go back, and we're going to repeat, and we're going to go back to the state coach, and we're going to win again, and you're going to win again, and you're going to continue to represent this city, your community, and everyone that believes in you, okay? Now this is what we're going to do, 12 o'clock, principal. We're going to send the pizza over there to the school. And it's going to be pizza now. It's not going to be steak. It's not going to be shrimp. It's going to be pizza. And we promised a pizza party, and we're going to have it today. Do y'all want it today? Y'all sure? It's a little weak. Do y'all want something maybe with hamburgers? What do you want? We're having pizza. Okay? Mayor, we're going to do this pizza at 12 o'clock. We're going to figure this out, okay? Between me and you, we send the pizza. I don't know how many we're going to send. Principal's going to arrive at 12 o'clock.
Right.
All right. And invite a few more folks. So it won't be just you. Invite a few more people. Don't invite too many. But invite a few people.
And thank you, Mr. Caraway.
We're going to have a pizza party. All right. 12 o'clock. The pizza will be there.
Thank you.
All right.
Coach, if you don't mind, and Principal Wood, I'm going to do this a little different. I'm going to have each individual to come up and introduce themselves. And
before we do that, some of your colleagues want to say something.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Allen?
Okay.
Just going to say, colleagues, you know, there's 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A. And I believe in the state of Texas there's more 3A schools in the state of Texas than any other division that's out there. So you guys whipped more schools than any other division that's out there. The cool thing about it, you're a champion today, and you'll be a state champion 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. You will always be a state champion. So, man, my hat is off to you guys. Big
Mr. Allen, have you ever been part of any championship
game? 1968 state 3A champion, baby. 3A, yeah.
The reason
I say that, because I know what it means. I know exactly how hard it is to get to that level, to do what y'all have done. Incredible to get to that level and the intensity. And so,
Mr. Allen, I think these young men need to hear just briefly the story. This guy We came down to the last seconds of the game, championship game. What happened?
Well, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Is this national television?
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
I said brief. I said
20
brief.
Seconds to go. We're playing back in the day. It was back in the old Gregory gym, held about 5,500.
Too much information. Just
well, it's good. I got to build it up, Mayor. This is too good. And it was the old Gregory gym, about 5,500 packed. You had to be there 2 hours in advance just to get in. But anyway, 20 seconds to go. We're ahead, Lake Highland Wildcats, ahead by two. I'm playmaker. They throw it into me. All I got to do is stall it 20 seconds. They double-team me. When they double-team me, I passed it off. An old boy jumped about 20 feet in the air, stole my pass, came in, tied it up. You know the intensity then. You know the switch. All of a sudden, the momentum's going to change. Tied game, 10 seconds to go. Well, I wasn't going to pass. And so I knew the old boy in front of me was going to try to make the steal. He went for the steal. I speeded up. He ran into me. I go to the line with 1-1. And first, and I made something like that. My last 25 free throws, seriously, I made the last 24. And that first one hit the rim. Normally, it'd go like, that's all I'd hear. That would hit the rim. But it went in. And the second one went, the guy came down. I played the whole game. The guy came down. My guy, I'm guarding, went up for the last shot out of the three-point area. And I was so tired, and all I could think, man, I got to throw the fake. You guys know what I'm talking about. I got to throw a fake. Can't let them have it free. No, man, you're too tired. No, I got to throw a fake. Anyway, I threw it. He missed it. Duck Tank came down with the rebound. The buzzer went off, and we're 1968 state champs. Thanks for letting me relive that, Mayor.
Okay. that was good. okay. What I okay. I like to. I would like to have number one. Come on up. Come on. Introduce yourself, right quick. We're gonna get you. Okay. Come on. Introduce yourself.
My name is Robert Pearson.
Okay. And when your classification?
Senior.
Okay. Let's get it. Here's your certificate, sweetheart. You got them. Pass them out. Number two.
My name is Cameron Bryant, and I'm a junior.
Okay. One more time. Congratulations. Number three.
My name is Adam Gilden, and I'm a sophomore.
Congratulations. He's all state. Okay. 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 Number four.
My name is LeBron Armstrong, and I'm a junior.
LeBron? Okay. LeBron? Number five. Number 11. Number 12. Number 14.
My name is Derek Jones, and I'm a junior.
All right, Derek.
Thank you.
Number 15. JD is not here. Number 20. Number 21.
My name is Kwame Thomas, and I'm a senior.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Number 23. My name is Aaron Williford, and I'm a junior at the Great James Madison High School.
Congratulations. Thank you. Number 24, Derek. Number 24 here? Number 25. 24 is here? Okay. 25.
My name is Tyra Spearman. I'm a senior.
Congratulations. Number 31.
I am DeMarcus West, and I'm a junior.
congratulations, baby. Number 32.
My name is Jonathan Turner. I'm a junior.
Okay, congratulations. Number 34.
My name is Devontae Wheatley. I'm a sophomore.
And Coach, who's the individual standing by you? Sheldon. Come on up. We have something for him. Uh-huh. Okay, introduce yourself and let him know what you do.
I'm Sheldon Williams. I'm the Great James Madison manager.
All right. Okay.
I will be playing this year, though.
Okay, good deal. And we're going to have a certificate for you as well.
Okay,
then.
Here's Manny.
Uh-huh. Here you go, baby.
Congratulations.
Okay, and then I would like to give a special recognition to our head coach, Coach Mosley, come and get your certificate as well. Assistant coach, the two assistant coaches, are they here? Come on. Robert and Trey.
Roderick Johnson.
And Tracy. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Okay.
Simeon, he graduates from Madison, he has his associate, he comes back in Robert.
Oh, yes.
Simeon,
come on, honey.
He's a graduate of Madison. He went and got his associates, and he's back assisting the team.
Okay, we'll have a certificate for you. Don't leave. We'll have one for you. Okay, who's the man? Oh, that's the manager. Who's the manager? We gave him one. Okay, then the principal, Principal Woolard. Okay, the associate principal, okay, the assistant director, okay, a female coordinator, okay, and the trainer. Okay, Greg Chapman, come on up, Greg. Thank you so much. Okay. Have I called everybody, Principal Willow?
Yes.
Oh, okay then. Okay, y'all. Let's give it up for the Great James Madison High School. Thank you so much. We're gonna take a picture. All my colleagues, if you can come up, we're gonna take a picture together.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Councilwoman Hassel, Councilmember Allen, and Councilmember Davis for some very nice presentations today. Made our morning start very nicely this morning. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We're going to begin the morning session with your morning speakers, and those are Deborah Sanford, Daryl Jordan, Steve Watson, and Trina Trish. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council during the session of the City Council shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during the session of the City Council. Individuals may address Madam the Mayor Medrano. Please state your name and address for the record. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please notice the timer and allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Deborah Sanford. Ms. Sanford will be followed by Daryl Jordan.
As Ms. Sanford approaches the mic, I would like to recognize former Councilmember Ron Atinsky and his wife Nancy. Thank you very much. Okay.
You may proceed.
Good morning to our mayor, who I'm sure will walk back in the room, and city manager.
I thought it was gone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now is it working? Not working. If I talk loud, will you?
We're going to start the clock over, and
I'll start over.
So you're just going to have to get closer.
I'm so tall, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Is that better?
Okay. Absolutely. Thank
All
you.
Right. Good morning to our esteemed mayor, city manager, and members of the council. If I may just take 1 second before I read my prepared remarks, I would like to say that it has been an extreme honor for me as a citizen to witness these very special presentations. All three of them touched me. So. On to my prepared remarks. My name is Deborah Sanford. I live at 3310 Fairmount Street, Dallas, Texas, 75201. I am here today because of two issues. Number one is the lack of enforcement of the noise ordinance as relates to the noise coming from the Katy Ice House Bar. This bar is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. The inside occupancy maximum is 166. Their outside patio area is twice as large as the inside and is uncovered. Therefore, no maximums are in place as to the number of patrons who can be served outside. It is my understanding that their on-site parking lot holds 44 cars. I live on the 10th floor of the Park Towers condominiums built in 1963, which is located directly across the Katy Trail from this bar. I and other residents no longer have peace and comfort in our homes that is guaranteed to us as citizens per Ordinance 13744, Section 30-1 of the Dallas City Code. We cannot use our terraces at all. On separate occasions, I have had in my unit an assistant city manager accompanied by one of the heads of code compliance, as well as an acoustics sound engineer hired independently, both of whom conducted extensive sound tests. Each time the results showed that the city sound ordinance was excessively violated. Number two is the lack of documentation of our ongoing complaints about the noise. We were told very soon after the Katy Ice House began operating to call 911 to report their violations of the sound ordinance. We were told to do this by the Dallas Police Department. I have personally called 911 at least 20 times. I hold in this file folder in my hands 76 DPD incident reports related to the Katy Ice House, and not one of my calls to 911 is included in these 76 documented reports. Also, not one of my complaints regarding the Ice House has been reported to the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission as stipulated by the TABC regulations. Park Tower's mission statement is as follows: to live in harmony and compatibility with our inner city neighbors, both residential and business, with respect flowing in both directions. This current situation has been intolerable and unbearable since March of 2011, when the Katie Ice House Bar first opened their doors. The residents on the south side of my building have not had one day's peace since. I don't really, my last sentence is, the residents on the south side of my building have not had one day's peace since then, unless it rains. That's my last sentence. Thank
Sanford,
you.
Thank you very much for coming. If you will remain there, we have a couple council members that would like to address you. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you. Ms. Sanford, thank you for coming down. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
I'm really troubled to hear about the sound technician that was up there and the excessive violation of the sound ordinance. We've dealt with similar issues, as you know, on Lower Greenville for many years.
Yes.
We've resolved that.
I know you do.
But I'm really troubled to hear that there was such an excessive violation of the decibel restrictions. I would like to meet with you and some neighbors and get our police and our code folks lined up so we can have a conversation about it with an assistant city manager. Do you remember which assistant city manager?
Oh, yes. I just didn't know about Joey Zapata. He came, which was very nice. Jim McKissick, head of code compliance, and Joy Zapata came maybe 9 months, a year ago, and they were nice enough to come at 11 p.m. on a Friday night, and Mr. McKissick brought his calibrated machinery and did the sound testing, and it was an extreme violation. And then about 6 months ago, we hired a very well-renowned acoustics firm, and they came, and they did extensive testing on a Saturday night in four different levels of units at Park Towers, and then came back on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. when the Katy Trail is so quiet, just to get a difference.
To get the ambient.
And he has machinery that can do such excessive testing to test ambient sounds and spikes, and and it's a big fat report. I didn't bring it. I mean, this is the police reports to do with the Ice House, but I did not bring the acoustics, but I do have it.
Okay. I think let's you and I talk for a second after this. It might be most productive for me to meet with our assistant city manager and figure out a course of action and then kind of bring that to you guys.
That would be so wonderful. Thank you.
Ms. Hunt, thank you very much. Ms. Grayson.
Hello, Ms. Sanford. Your timing is so terrific because I actually have a meeting set up today with an assistant city attorney about this very issue, because it's happening in my district in Far North Dallas on Preston Road, and there has been no resolution of these complaints year after year. We're going to look at putting something in the development code that may strengthen our city's ability to respond.
Thank you. That's the only way we think that we can ever get changes, is because they were zoned properly to be able to be anything, although there was not anything like that there. It was just the quiet, peaceful Katy Trail. You know, because of the zoning and because the ordinances are so old that, you know, as far as like the outside seating, if you don't have a roof over your head, we estimate that, and I'm not sure about your situation and your area, but this is, if you've not been to this place, this is a sports bar and just a free-for-all cornholing, and we estimate 250 to 300 people outside on every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon.
Well, that is a lot of noise. You can just by that number of people. We don't have that many people, but we have bands playing outside, and the sound really carries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get with Ms. Hunt and whoever else we need to get with to try and tackle this, because it seems like what we have now isn't adequate to address this concern.
Yes.
And it would be great if we could actually do something before it becomes a problem instead of after it becomes a problem.
That's kind of what we were thinking for the next people, for whomever this might affect next, if there could be like an ordinance change or something to where when these establishments were getting their codes and all of that, that they knew that they had to stay within a certain range or something. It's got to be an ordinance change, I think.
That's what we thought. The intent of this approach is going to be to try and tackle it before it becomes a problem, not after it becomes a problem.
It is so. Really a shame for because the acoustics, and if Ms. Hunt wants to see that, but the acoustics engineer, he found, well, he already knew, sound travels up. None of us would have ever known that until the night they opened. But sound travels up, so the higher up in our condominium you go, the more you're affected. Now, nobody on the south side can, and these are the biggest terraces in all of Turtle Creek. That's the selling point for this building. Nobody on the south side uses their terraces anymore, even all the way up to the penthouse. But I'm talking about sound that comes into our units, at least halfway into our units, to where we're just listening to constant chatter, music, yelling and screaming over the cornholing game. And you can just imagine that many people outside, and you're literally living right across the trail from them. So.
And you can't get away from it.
I know. Well, I've said many times since this opened, and I've been there 9 years, and I love my home, but I've said many times, I want to run away from home. So, anyway.
Thank you. Very, very timely. Thanks.
Well, thank you for caring and for your concern.
Ms. Sanford, thank you, and Ms. Hunt will be in touch with you.
Thank you so
much. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Daryl Jordan.
Yes.
Daryl Jordan will be followed by Steve Watson and Trina Trish.
Thank you, and good morning, Mayor Medrano and members of the City Council. My name is Daryl Jordan. I live at 3 Lakeside Park, Dallas 75225, which is in District 13. I am the immediate past chair of the Dallas Summer Musicals, and joining me today is, and will speak to you next, is Steve Watson, who is the current chair, and Nancy Natinsky and Laura Estrada, who are members of our board. Just briefly, Dallas Summer Musicals is a nonprofit. We've been in business for 73 years in Fair Park. We're the principal tenant of the music hall out there. We rely on ticket sales and contributions to meet our budget. And that brings me to say how grateful we are and were for the grant that you all gave us last year, which came at a very, very difficult time for us. I should also mention that we are one of the performing arts group, one of the 5 performing arts group that have been meeting now for about a year, developing ways in which we can all collaborate and be more efficient and save money. That would include the symphony, the opera, theater center, the AT&T, and the Dallas Summer Musicals, and a lot of progress is being made. What I'm here today to talk to you about briefly is the high school musical theater awards that is coming up on May the 7th. We have a gala that's going to be on May the 10th, and Steve will explain that a little in more detail. And I should also mention that as a special feature this year, we're going to have an award for Councilman Allen commemorating his outstanding high school basketball career. Last year we had 29 schools that participated. This year we've got 49. That's almost twice as many. I went last year not knowing what to expect. I am a big fan of Broadway musical theater, but I didn't know really what the talent level of some high schools would be. Folks, you are good. If you go, you're going to be simply amazed. It is nonstop entertainment, and you really can't determine which one is better than the next. They're all really, really good, and some of these kids are Broadway ready right now. I mean, their talent level is such that they could get jobs on Broadway now, according to Michael Jenkins. There would be 8 finalists in 15 categories, the outstanding male performer, outstanding female performer, outstanding supporting and male and female will all be recognized, and the 2 winners go to New York to compete for a $100,000 scholarship against winners from all across the country. This is a big deal. I wish we'd thought of it a long time ago, but on the night of the finals, there will be a packed music hall. The family, friends, classmates of all these performers are going to be there. Folks associated with DSM will be there, and it is a glorious occasion. Now, I see that my time has run out, and I hope that, Steve, if I've left something out, you'll cover for me. But Steve is going to give you all an invitation, and we hope that some of you, if your schedules will permit, can come. You will not regret attending these finals of the High School Musical Awards. Thank you,
Mr. Jordan.
And the next speaker, Steve Watson.
Mr. Watson, I just want to know, has anyone ever told you you look like Mr. Natinsky? I swear I thought it was Mr. Natinsky in the audience.
Well, that's an honor and a privilege. Thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate it. No, thank you very much for attending this morning. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm Steve Watson. I'm the current chairman of the board of Dallas Summer Musicals. I live at 6050 Mimosa Lane, Dallas 75230, District 13 in Preston Hollow. When we did High School Musicals, we knew it was going to be special, but let me tell you, we did not know how big it was going to be. And the thing I wanted you all to take away is we think this is going to have a huge impact on the city of Dallas, Fair Park, Music Hall, because the momentum and the enthusiasm and the excitement of these high school kids is just phenomenal. Now, we've taken it a step further, and this year we're doing the first annual college audition night in August at the Music Hall. We're bringing the top high school talent who want to go to college, and we're bringing in seven Texas colleges where these students can audition and perform and interview and hone their skills for college applications. We think that also is going to be a great follow-on to High School Musical Awards. It'll all be at Music Hall. Now, historically, we've had a fundraiser event, Curtain Call, with Big Entertainment. This year, we've connected Curtain Call to the High School Musical Awards. It follows it by 4 days on that Friday night. Unfortunately, it's the night before the elections, but it is what it is. Entertainment will be by the high school students, and this year, we call it Curtain Call Broadway Bound. And the reason for that, as Daryl mentioned, two of these performers are going to go on to New York City and compete for a full ride to NYU. And second of all, we give out seven scholarships to top performers. This year, we're giving out an extra $1,000 over last year. We want to raise money so that we can sustain this program, add more scholarships, and really help our high school students and kids of all ages really enjoy the performing arts. So we've created the tribute to Charles Pister. Many of you know Charles, prominent businessman, banker in Dallas, who we lost this last summer. He was a past chairman of DSM and a very big supporter of the musicals. So we're doing a tribute to Charles Pister to help raise money that will all go towards scholarships and our kids' programs so that we can get more kids off the streets and interested in the theater, the performing arts, and the musicals. We would love to have you all share in this excitement and come to High School Musical Theater Awards and Curtain Call. We have a personal invitation for each one of you that we will leave with you, and we hope all of you can please come and attend and see the excitement that we've created, something that we think is going to be big for the city of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Watson. I've got Ms. Davis, Mr. Cadane, and then Mr. Allen. Ms. Davis.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mayor. May 10th is the gala.
Yes.
Where will the gala be at?
It'll be at Music Hall.
Okay, at Music Hall. Okay. How much are the tickets?
Their individual tickets are $350.
Okay.
Although we're inviting the council members as our guests.
Okay. Okay then. Okay. Thank you. And that's a fundraiser.
That's a fundraising event.
Oh, okay.
The High School Musical Theater Awards, we have tickets for, I think, don't hold me to this, $20 to $60.
Okay.
In that range.
Okay. And the proceeds that you do for the gala, it goes back into the Dallas Summer Musical.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, then. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We depend on the fundraising, as Daryl mentioned, to sustain bringing the best of Broadway and all these kid programs that we do.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Davis, thank you. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Watson and Mr. Jordan, thank you so much for bringing this to us. I didn't realize it was going on. But I think this is fantastic. Is this just for DISD schools?
No, it's for schools all over
private
the area.
Private schools and all, correct?
Yes. It's for any high school that wants to
participate. That wants to get involved.
Right.
Well, I think this is a great way to keep our public schools mainly involved and moving forward. And I think every organization around ought to be looking for ways to do that. I think it's fantastic. I think what you guys are doing are great. And you have I think we have one of the greatest assets in this city at Fair Park in our summer musicals. And thank you guys for continuing the great work you're doing. And we're going to do nothing but get better and better.
Absolutely.
So thank you both,
thank you.
All of you, for putting this on. It'll be great. Thank you, madam.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Mr. Allen.
Daryl, Laura, Nancy, Steve, without question, I will be there because I have two nominees from Lake Highlands High School. One is best actor. The other is feature performer. So I will be so tickled to sit there and watch him bring home the gold. And so I said it last time at our arts and culture, but thank you so much for doing this. Our kids, without question, are stellar. They are stellar, and we want to put them on the stage. We want to clap every instant we get.
Right.
So thank you so much, and I look forward to watching those Lake Highland Wildcats bring the gold home. Yeah.
You will be totally amazed at the level of the talent. They're unbelievable.
I suspect right. My hands will be raw from clapping.
Right.
Mr. Allen, thank you very much. Ms. Margolin.
I just want to add my thanks to you for all that you're doing. We heard a great extended presentation on this at the Arts, Culture, and Libraries Committee this week. And what you're doing for the children of Dallas is phenomenal. And it's great for them, and it's also great for all of us to know the level of talent that we have right here, because we hope that some of those kids end up pursuing this as a career and coming back and being here in Dallas to perform for us. So
absolutely.
Thank all of you.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Your final speaker this morning is Trina Trish.
Good morning, Minister Trina Trish, Dallas, Texas. And it's good to see you all. Let me say to the city employees that's homosexual and came out of the closet, I can't imagine what they go through with prejudice and other things, but I do know what they go through as far as prejudice views against them because of their sexual preference. Certificate of registration, black. My work of art. Hero. Certificate of registration, Library of Congress. My work. Well, you had that Black Moses, and I didn't bring that one. My work. Certificate of registration. And black is African American. For your eyes only. Making healthy choices today. Happy Mother's Day. The resurrection. Especially for you. Happy Father's Day. I sell these rights to these words for millions. When I did my IRS 2010 taxes, I had to file an affidavit for identity theft. Any of you did that? Here's the paper. And I have 2011 to go. Businesses bought property or will private investors at Farmers Market across from the bridge. and yet the government knows of the corruption that's going on at these shelters and are even participating in it. Even so, maybe the police. Nevertheless, I come to you every day. Small businesses need to know that they are not safe. We have Suzanne Durham in the paper, a million plus, her and her people that's supposed to be spending the money for shelter, for housing. We have other government individuals going to jail every day for government corruption. What has the FBI found out about Mary Soon, the Trinity East Energy River Project? Have they even investigated? And these contracts that's coming up with increase. How about that? That's where the money is. And yet, because I may lay my head somewhere and not at Turtle Creek, you're going to ask her questions. You won't have a question about this. Not with the black girl. But it is just as important and dangerous. And I'm addressing it often, and nobody's doing anything about it. I hope the citizens of Dallas are ready to take a stand at election time. God bless you all.
Thank you, Ms. Trish.
That concludes your speakers, Madam Mayor.
I've got a couple of announcements, please. Ms. Coop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Colleagues, at your place, you'll see the date for the nominees for the DART board interviews, April 22nd at our next TEC meeting at 1 o'clock. That is an extended meeting. You'll be doing some other business after the interviews are over, but if you want to come for the interviews, of course, all of you are invited, and that will start at 1 o'clock. The list of interviewees are Amanda Moreno Cross, Joyce Foreman, Pamela Dunlap Gates, William Sow, William Velasco, Claude Williams, and Jerry Christian. So you're all invited. It also tells you the date of the voting at the council as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Currently, Norma is passing out a draft. This is simply a draft that of my consideration of our plastic bag ordinance. I had attorneys to draft up a little ordinance so that we could see and have our opinions as to what we think we'd like to add, would like to see, not like to see, or whatever. This is merely the draft, the first draft of it, and I'm passing it out to all the council members. We have an opportunity to just take a look at it and read it and make some tweaks or have some suggestions. At some point, I would like for the full council to be briefed, but I would also like for us to take a look as we go through the committees, as we go through it, to kind of see where we may want to tweak some things and come back prior to us moving forward. So this is just the first draft of the plastic bag ordinance that I'm proposing, and I want each council member to have it for our preview and to add and subtract and give us some thoughts on the feedback. Okay? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Anyone else have announcements? Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Your first voting agenda item is approval of minutes of the April 3, 2013 City Council meeting.
So moved.
Second. Who was second? Ms. Margolin and Mr. Carraway. Any suggestions, corrections, additions? I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The minutes for the April 3rd meeting will stand as written.
Item number two is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For individual appointment to the Community Development Commission, you have Pam Gerber, nominated by Councilmember Hunt.
Motion by Ms. Hunt, second by Ms. Alonzo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Thank you.
Item number three is an ordinance amending ordinance numbers 28938 and 28939 as amended to change certain early voting locations for the Saturday, May 11, 2013, general and special elections.
Madam Secretary, can we get a copy of the polling place for early voting?
Yes, ma'am. We'll be happy to get you a full listing. And it'll include this modification if approved.
Now, on this one, Ms., a question. On this move, is it simpler or easier for people get to the library as opposed to the second floor and City Hall?
Yes, there were actually several factors involved. As you know, there's a festivity occurring that weekend on the May 4th and the 5th. And what was going to happen was there was going to be an actual capacity. The City Hall was going to be surrounded, so there's an attendance capacity, which could mean that once that capacity was met, they would not be letting any more people in, and one of those people that they won't be able to let in could possibly be a voter. Mm-hmm. As well, the need for police to monitor the area, talking with the Secretary of State and the Justice Department, when you have an increased police attendance at a voting location, it could be seen as police intimidation, so they did express that concern. So that was also a factor.
Will it be on the first floor, second floor?
It will be on the first floor.
It will be on the first floor.
Yes,
so I think that would probably be real important just to mention when it's in writing.
Yes, ma'am.
First floor.
Yes, and what we're going to do is we're going to put notices around the building as well as indicators that people can vote at the library. We're working with special events at the convention center to be sure that the police officers working the grounds will be able to let individuals know exactly where to go vote.
Okay. And for parking, what if they want to go early vote at the library?
Well, there is some metered parking on the other side of the library. There's parking meters there. As well, there's underground parking that they can park underground.
Also placed in either signage for as far as I know that we announce where there's going to be early voting. Will that piece also be mentioned, just for people to be ready?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is we've done the initial we're doing some notices on our election notice that we're required to advertise mm-hmm. to let them know that special parking accommodations are made and that they should contact our office.
Okay.
And then as well, again, everybody working the grounds is educated to let them know exactly where to go.
I think that is good.
Madam Mayor?
Okay, Ms. Hill and then Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the parking meters, they should be hooded because people do have a right to vote without having to pay any money at all.
We did check with the Secretary of State as well as updated Dallas County records. There is no requirement for an entity to provide, quote, free parking. As you know, there are numerous early voting locations. And the Secretary of State felt that there are numerous locations throughout Dallas and, of course, other cities since it's early voting where individuals will be able to park free without charge. So there is no requirement to hood the parking meters or not charge for underground parking.
Did somebody provide you a written statement to that effect so that it is in our records? Because I do believe that is a potential problem.
Yeah.
I understand there are other locations. I get that. But I also get that if people show up at that location and have to pay a copper coin, that is a potential problem. So I would like to see whoever is saying that that's okay and not a violation of any Voting Rights Act, I would like to see that in writing, please, ma'am.
We'll get that for you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Ms. Hassel. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Davis, then Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Mayor. I feel the same way as Councilmember Hill. That person, let me step back. Why are we moving it here from the city?
Well, again, there's a festivity scheduled Saturday and Sunday. Again, there's limited access.
Okay, no. Let's go back. Why are we moving it from the city? Because early voting is two weeks, isn't it?
Exactly, and the move will move it for the entire early voting period. Mm-hmm. We had talked with the Secretary of State, and they were they were concerned about the confusion that it would cause for voters if you have early voting for almost the entire period and then just on that weekend that you're changing it to, you know, to a separate location, even if it is very close to the initial time.
Why are we moving it again? Because something is going on that...
Yes, there's a festival, Art Fest, scheduled around the grounds of City Hall.
Okay.
And again, there's, you know, everything's going to be basically gated. Access is going to be controlled. Individuals are going to have to go through metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a capacity set.
Mm-hmm.
And once that capacity is set, no additional individuals will be allowed to enter until somebody else leaves. And one of those people that's not being allowed to enter could be a voter.
Well,
in which case, that could be a serious infraction.
Yeah, and I have the same concern as Councilmember Hill. If someone is trying to vote, so they come and they try to vote and they try to find parking space and they have to pay the meter. So if there's a line and they don't put enough money in the meter or anything can happen, will their car get booted or towed? So that's a concern for me. So I would be interested to see also what they have to say about that, as Councilmember Hill has said.
Well,
it's their right to vote, and they should not be intimidated. If they were to get a ticket, is that intimidation while they're trying to vote?
Well, again, they could always file a complaint with the Justice Department. We did check with Dallas County because Dallas County does cover the parking meters at one of their early voting sites. And they stated that there really is no way to – you can have somebody kind of try to monitor the parking meters where people are coming to vote, but you don't really know that they're voting for the entire period that they're parking there. But, you know, again, what they do is they do cover the meters, and, again, that would be a decision that would need to be coordinated with the city manager for here.
Thank you. Ms. Hossel.
Oh,
thank you, Madam Mayor. And we don't have anybody from the city manager's office here. But, okay, AC, thank you. But I guess this comes out of this. Sorry, I didn't see you. Okay, here's my question. Madam Secretary, yes, it was a test. I want to know what the budget would be to hood the parking meters around the public library for those 10 days in order that we can be on the right side of the Voting Rights Act and possibly even letting us give free the parking tickets to those people that come to vote so that they don't have to pay for the parking underneath the library. I think it's a good move to move it since two or three of those days are festival days. We've got to see what the budget would be to hood all of those parking meters for those 10 days and also to provide free parking tickets for those people that go into the library to go vote and park underneath. We need to know what that cost is.
I'll be glad to get you the cost, but let me point out one thing. Voters won't get those spaces because the people that work around in this area will park early in the morning and stay there all day.
What if we provided free parking tickets for the underground parking to those people who actually vote?
Which one?
In the
library?
Well, to get out of the underground parking for free with one of those tickets.
We can do that. I'll just need to look.
That would be a better way to control because you get the ticket after you vote.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not a stamp ticket. It's when you sit in the machine. So we can get
yeah, you put an extra ticket in the machine to pay for it for free. So I'd like to see what that cost is, and I think we should go that route then instead of the hooded parking meters.
Okay, we'll coordinate with the city manager to
thank
get you
the
information.
Good idea, Ms. Hassel. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, Ms. Hassel covered what I was concerned about, which is the cost to park under the library, so we should be able to cover that cost.
The first 15 to 20 minutes are free, so I expect most of them would be in and out in that period of time. So,
Well, but there could be a line.
I know, but I'm just telling you, I don't think there will be much cost because I don't think there will be a big line there.
What's the festival that we're having that is causing this?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Fiesta, Texas or something. It's,
okay.
All the way around, big fair all the way around the building.
Cinco de Mayo. Okay, I hope we have a solution for the parking. I do think that some people may be there longer than 15 or 20 minutes. And
yes, we'll.
Yeah.
Well, all I was saying was I don't think it'll be much money because of that 15 minutes free. And I've always voted at City Hall and not had a line experience ever, which is why I vote here. So I think we'll be okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Hill.
Ms. Hossel and Ms. Grayson have said what I wanted to say, but I would also note that I had one experience at the county. I always vote at the county, Ms. Sooner, because you're in and out. There's fewer people than at City Hall. I had one experience where I went down there. The meters were not hooded, and I immediately went and complained, and the meters were immediately hooded. So I agree with Ms. Grayson and Ms. Hossel. We've got to make available some sort of parking. And Ms. Sum, thank you for working on that. And I recognize that other people may take advantage, but we need to make it available. Thank you so much.
Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I was going to say that at the county, they do have meters there. And we have our meters. I don't know if we have to should meter all of them. I think if you meter for voting only,
there's no way for me to determine that. We can put them, and then just whoever gets them, and then we can give tickets if they stay longer than 15 minutes and get it out of the library parking lot.
But just on the front, we couldn't take the front meters and designate those four meters.
Well, you could, but nobody would mind.
Well, they wouldn't have to mind. We can boot them and get some more money.
I don't know where they're going, Ms. Caraway.
Okay, but could we not, just like when you pull into the parking lot, it says for physicians only, for, you know, CEO parking, for the president, we can't designate four parking locations for voters only and have our cones there for those 10 days so those people will have the ability to come there and to just park. We can hood them all. It's fine with me. So hood them as long as the people are not charged to have to get out and vote. I'm for that. But I don't know if we have to hood every one of them.
Okay.
But we could hood, you know, those that are
probably, if we were hooding, the back would be the best place because there's less people
wherever
there.
They are.
Okay.
And then
we'll work on it. We'll get you a solution.
Yeah, and then Rosa, you also designate where parking is in our for the library. Okay,
hold on, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, that idea too about parking under the garage and then giving them a deal, because the reality is the turnout is not going to be much at all, never has been, and maybe the real conversation is taking some type of revenue from these parking meters and trying to figure out how to get the vote out. Maybe that's where the conversation ought to be going, but that idea of simply just doing that, that sounds pretty good.
Mr. Allen, Ms. Davis.
Yeah, let me say this. You know, even though the turnout might not be heavy, people still have the right to vote. And regardless if we have one person or two person coming to vote, they have the right to vote by law. And it's just, you know, and that's just my deal. I don't care if it's one person through the whole 2 weeks. We got to make it convenient for those individuals to vote. And we shouldn't make it hard. They shouldn't have to look for a place behind the building, around the corner, to vote. We got to give them that right.
All I'm saying is I'm recommending that we publish widely that they can use the library garage for free.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything I hood by 7:30 in the morning is going to be parked in and be gone. So
okay.
We just need to publicize widely. You'll be able to park free in the library.
Let me ask you this, Mary, then I'm through with it.
Okay.
When it was here, where did they park at?
They parked by parking meters and pay.
So they paid at the parking meters.
Yeah, or mm-hmm. wherever they park.
Or
they work here. You know, of course, a lot of us that work here vote here. So
mm-hmm. Okay, so it's most of the people who work here.
They're outsiders too.
Oh,
but I don't know who all, but they paid to park. But we can certainly do the free parking in the library garage, and that way they'll have a place. They'll know it's there, and we can hood some too. But I guarantee you, very few of them will get that.
Okay.
And I think that people that work around City Hall also come and vote here as well. So
yeah.
Maybe they didn't pay the parking. So,
yeah,
but I'm sure we will work it out. Mary
yeah.
will work it out.
Yeah.
Just a few points is that, you know, as we publicize, you know, the change that it's going to be at the Eric, J. Eric Johnson, Central Library, that it will be on the first floor, so people will know that it's on the first floor, and perhaps some kind of small indication, parentheses, that you could use the garage parking if that's what we're going to do.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We'll be sure to include that.
I'm sure we can work it out.
We will.
There are a lot of smart people here at City Hall. Thank you.
We'll take that vote now.
Thank you.
So we have,
on item number 3, we have a motion made by Mr. Gadane, seconded by Ms. Hill. And I'll call the question. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes your action items, Madam Mayor.
That concludes our action items. We will recess until 11 a.m. That's another 20-minute break. We will then go into closed session, and by then the mayor will return. Thank you. We are in recess for 20 minutes. It'll be here.
Recess at 10:39.
And we'll be back here, 6 East South. Thank you.
The afternoon speakers will be called after the executive session. Thank you.
Hold on, Kenny. Just hold on. I've got to read. Council, it is 11:02, and we're going into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. We're going to get briefing from our attorneys on Thomas Hannon versus David Nevitt et al., civil action number 3.09-CV-0066. Is it Big Heart Ministries Association, Incorporated versus City of Dallas et al., cause number 3.07-CV-00216. Phyllis Lister Brown versus City of Dallas, Texas et al., case cause number DC-11-14290-E. Personnel section 551.074 under the Texas Open Meetings Act. And then personnel issues involving city attorney's office and city attorney. Please shut off the mics, please, Kenny, and close the doors. And this will take how long?
About how long? 20 minutes?
20 minutes. Okay. We'll be in closed session for about the next 20 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. We are now, it is 12:05. P.M. April 17th, the council is now going back into session. We met under 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, received advice from and consult with the city attorney on Thomas Hansen v. David Nevitt, Phyllis Lister Brown v. City of Dallas, Texas et al., and under Section 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to consider personnel matters involving the city attorney's office and city attorney. Ms. Rios, we will take our afternoon speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your afternoon speakers with Ozumba Lunks, Jonathan Vance, LaCoya London, and William Hopkins. I will recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council should observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council during that session of the City Council, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak. First speaker, Ozumba Lunks.
My name is Ozumba Lunks, Chief Administrator Ozumba Lunks. I don't know what to say today. I've probably said everything before. I seem to be just going over and over on the same thing. But I was going through Revelation here. As you see, man, I have an old Bible that's pretty ragged. It's all marked up. But, you know, according to Revelation, we're on time. We're on time according to Revelation. Good is bad. Bad is good. Right is wrong. And wrong is right. Not with everybody, but this is the world. Oh, Lucifer, Satan, the old devil is busy. This is his time. Some people are up to no good, but what you see is what you get. Smiling faces, beware. Beware of the pat on the back. The pat on the back may hold you back. God is the answer, the only answer. Merrill, I would like to talk to you and Chief David Brown. One nation under God, liberty and justice for all. I wish that was true. We were based on certain standards of things coming to America that we believed in once the devil is busy. But God still has his people in place here on earth. Be careful who you entertain. It may be an angel. Be careful how you put your hands on people. It may be one of God's chosen people. And I mean not everyone. If you're a Christian, you're God's child. And I tell the devil, be careful how you do God's children, because you may have to pay for it. It's all about money. Don't be stuck on money. You can't eat it, you can't drink it, and you can't breathe it. One lady on Korea, I was talking about it, about 2 weeks ago, said that the groundwater was bad. I guess they drank it, drinking water, bottled water. They were talking about the nuclear waste here in China, the parts of boats and all kind of doctors floating into America. We're talking about fish, how they're sick. Like they were talking about the plastic and stuff the fish were eating. We're ruining the world. God made the world. He made it perfect. Man is fixing things, but he's ruining things. Fracking, causing earthquakes and different things. We're on time for destruction. If we don't get a hold to it, the life expectancy of man will probably be about 50 years. It's going backwards. Time is drawing near. I can't say when, but we're living in those times. Oh, God is the answer, and I'll tell you all that God wants me to tell you, and tell my know myself, get right with God, because time is short. This life is temporary. Money is nothing. This life we live in now is temporary. Some serious people. You can't tell God nobody said nothing to you. I'm going to try to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but you know what? You can't tell God. God, didn't nobody tell us nothing. You can say, oh, don't bother that guy Zuma told you all. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Your next speaker is Jonathan Vance, not present. LaCoya, London.
Hello. I'm LaCoya, London, 1753 Mockingbird. Okay, I'm here about the local government and it's this corruption that we have down here. You know, you got people getting tickets, you know, on green lights, and it's called behavior modification, Mr. Mayor. And they said you ordered that, but, you know, you never did answer my question if you ordered it last week. But it happened, and we got it on tape. Okay, another thing, they got 35 teachers. You know, I come to represent the teachers, too. You know, we got 35 teachers in Atlanta getting railroaded. You know, they pictures in the paper. I mean, it's amazing. They became criminals overnight for cheating on a test. I know it's a federal crime probably, but racketeering. They trying to say that's racketeering. You know, it's falsification of information and theft. I see that part in there. That's probably true. But if you got 35 black, you know, people getting served like they're criminals, like they the mob. You do the mob like that. The superintendent, her bond was $7.6 million. They call people in Dallas cheating. So I just want to know, are they going to put their pictures in the paper? Because that's humiliation. You want to humiliate somebody so they can never get a job somewhere or something. But you got this same stuff happening in the local government with the police. I mean, with people up here. You know, everybody doing some little local stuff that make them criminals, you know, because I turned in a ballot, you know, to be in Area 2, and it looked like y'all already know who y'all want for Area 2. You know, you got people cheating on voting from somewhere, they live somewhere outside in Garland, and you finding out that they done voted at two or three different residents. Come on now. Ain't that corruption? So I just want to know how you going to violate the rights of them educators. You know, they did wrong. Fire them. That's all you can do is fire them. Just, they don't, can't teach ever again. But you want to forget a lady 40 years? Come on, the government is messed up. You got corruption all around the city. Like I said, they were giving people tickets on the green light here in Dallas, Texas, the other day, last week. So if you got corruption in the government, it's corruption everywhere. Come on, you don't prosecute no people. They educated some people. Some people really got educated. So give them some props for that, for educating some folks. Now, they might have cheated for some people, and they denying it anyway. But if they did just firm. What are they going to court for this for? When I don't see Miss Rios getting going to court with me for falsification of information when I turned that ballot in and it had 25 signatures on it, Mr. Mayor. So we got local corruption everywhere. I thought I'd tell you that, man. Have a good day.
Thank you.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Meeting's adjourned at 12:12.